Today's scripture is from John chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
So if this sounds familiar, then you were probably here last week, because we read the exact same scripture last week. And a matter of fact, we'll be reading the exact same scripture next week, because there's so much in this, I can't get it all into one sermon. So I'm doing three. Last week, we talked about the aspect of sin and how Jesus reacts to this woman, even though she was seen as a sinner. I know we don't know if she was just a terrible person that no one could live with, or if she was used and thrown away by five different men and now living with a man. We don't know. But either way, Jesus addresses her even in the midst of this life that would raise eyebrows even in her modern life. And I think that's a very important message. And if you didn't hear that last week, I hope you'll go to our website, because it's on there. It's esumcprague.org. And I hope you'll listen to that message, because it's an important message about how Jesus reacts to sin. Today, I want to continue our conversation about their conversation as we look at this woman and her reputation. She was coming to draw water at noon. It's really hot there at noon. No one comes to draw water at noon in that desert environment. And yet this woman comes by herself to draw water in the heat of the day. Now, everyone had the habit back in those days. Women drew the water. That was part of the woman's work. We don't use that kind of term now, but it was the way it was back then. That was what women did. They drew water, and they came early in the morning. One, because it was cool. It's hard carrying water. It's very heavy. So to carry that stuff was difficult work. And it was cool in the mornings. And in addition to that, you need water all day long. And so you go early in the morning while it's cool, you get water, and you have it all day long. You don't go at noon in the heat of the day to do hard work of carrying heavy buckets of water back to your home. And yet this woman did, because she wasn't welcome with anyone else, because she had a bad reputation. She had five husbands and was now living with a man. And as I said, that would raise eyebrows even in our modern times. You know, we kind of get used to certain things in our modern day, but that would even raise eyebrows today. Back then, it got her completely shunned. She was completely shunned from the entire community and basically was not allowed to hang out with anyone else. They didn't want her. They didn't want to be around her. She was not good enough for them. Her reputation preceded her, and they pushed her out of the community. So she's going at noon in the heat of the day to do this very difficult work. In addition to that, she's a Samaritan. And I won't get into all the different bigotries that took place back there. It's somewhat complicated, but just the short version is the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. In fact, a lot of people didn't like the Samaritans. They were basically a shunned people. So this is a woman who is part of a people that are generally oppressed, that generally there is bigotry against her entire people, and then she is one of the lowest among this oppressed people. You really can't have a worse reputation than this woman. To be a part of a community, to part of a people that are oppressed and shunned, and there is bigotry against all the Samaritans. They are looked down upon to start with, and then this woman is one of the lowest among her own community because she had had five husbands and was living with a man. And again, we don't know from Scripture what the circumstances were, and I think that's interesting. The Scripture doesn't bother to tell us whether she was at fault in all these relationships, or if she was being used and thrown away and she was a victim in these relationships. The Bible doesn't tell us. But whatever leads to that, this woman had a terrible reputation. No one would be around her. She had to go in the heat of the day by herself to draw water, and the only person that would come and have a conversation with her is Jesus, who didn't care that she had a bad reputation. That tells us a lot about Jesus. Christ would go to her on purpose. Okay, he didn't have to be there. He could have been a number of other places. He went to her and asked her to draw him water. That he went to her and had this conversation, even though no one else would talk to her. He didn't care that she had her bad reputation. He cared about her. Now, don't you want a friend like that? Do you have someone in your life that can know every bad thing about you and still love you? The truth is, you probably don't have too many. I hope you have some. I hope you at least have one. But the truth is, we probably don't have very many. The truth is, if people know every dumb thing we have ever done and thought and said, a lot of people would shun us. If they knew everything we had ever done, probably a lot of people would have raised eyebrows and not so sure about us, because we've all done stupid things. But hopefully you've got someone in your life that it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to stick with you. Now, they may not like what you do, and they may call you out on it, and they may tell you you're being stupid. They may tell you when you're wrong, but they're going to stick with you. Jesus shows himself to be exactly that kind of person, exactly that kind of friend. That this woman could get no one to talk to her and associate with her because of her reputation, except the Savior of the world, except the one who created her and loved her no matter what. And did not care that she had a bad reputation, did not care that other people would shun her, went to her and wanted to give her living water, new life. Talked to her and didn't avoid the topic. He didn't tiptoe around the topic, and he actually called her out on things. When she said, "I have no husband," he said, "Yeah, you're right, you've had five and living with a man." That's probably not what she wanted him to say. That's probably not a topic she liked bringing up. And yet, He wouldn't avoid the topic. He wasn't dancing around and just playing nice. He actually cared about her in the midst of her struggles, in the midst of her hardships, in the midst of the things that got everyone else to shun her. He would bring that up and would still have a conversation with her. He wasn't running from the topic. He would go right into the topic with her and yet love her anyway. That's who Jesus is. That's who we need to know in our times of trouble. Is there sometimes, I think, even though we may be in church, we will keep Christ at a distance because we know there's stuff in our life we're not proud of. We know there's thoughts and attitudes that we're not proud of. We know there's struggles. We know there's things within us that don't need to be there. And perhaps in that place we get into of that shame, that doubt, that self-doubt, that the way we talk to ourselves sometimes is so bad. Gosh, we talk to ourselves all day long, and we talk really bad. Listen to yourself talk sometime. Listen to yourself throughout the day of what goes on in your head. And listen to how many times you talk to yourself in a bad way. Most people will talk to themselves all day long, little dialogue going on in their head, and most of it's negative, and most of it's negative towards ourselves. A lot of it's negative towards other people, too. Very few people can have positive dialogue in their head all day long. Most of the time, it's negative. And most of the time, when we do stuff, we are so hard on ourselves. You know, how many times have you done something and you spend the rest of the day thinking, I can't believe how dumb I am. Can't believe how stupid. I can't believe I did that. How many times you do something good and you go through the day thinking, man, I'm good. We don't do that as much. We just beat ourselves up all the time. We get into this place where we don't think we deserve this kind of love. And we certainly can't find it out in the world. Half the time people reject us, whether we deserve it or not. Half the time people treat us bad for no particular reason. And we get into this place that we think, I don't deserve this kind of love. And even though we are believers, and even though we attend church, and even though we are Christian people, and we are people of faith, sometimes in our heart we will push Jesus away. We will keep God at a distance. We'll come to church sometimes, maybe we'll even pray sometimes, but we don't really make it our life because we just not so sure we want to be too close to someone so holy when we've struggled so much. This story is so powerful because Jesus didn't care about any of that. He knew her reputation. He knew what she had been through. He knew the mistakes that she had made and what people had done to her. And he went and he talked to her when no one else would. He didn't avoid the topic of the struggles of her life. He got right into that, and yet he didn't push her away. He wanted to be there with her in conversation. Jesus does not care about your reputation. Whatever you have been through, whatever has been done to you, whatever you have done, Jesus does not care about your reputation. He cares about you. He shows us that in this story. He shows us that whatever our reputation is, it doesn't matter. You can have a great reputation. It can be just the opposite. You can have a tremendous reputation. Okay, Jesus isn't worried about that. He's not worried about your resume. He's not worried about how good everybody thinks you are. He's also not worried about how bad everybody thinks you are. He cares about you, who you are as a person, the deep part of your soul. He cares about the true person that you are. He doesn't care about your reputation. He cares about you. The other aspect of this is that men were not supposed to be talking to women in public when they're not married. They're not courting. They have no relationship. They're not kin. There were procedures back in that day, and it was not proper. First of all, it wasn't proper for a Jew to be talking to a Samaritan. That wasn't allowed. Secondly, a man was not supposed to be talking with a woman. So this was going to hurt Jesus' reputation. For him to go and show love to this person would damage his reputation. We didn't keep reading because we read a lot of verses there. But as the story goes on, the disciples came back and they were a little bit shocked. Jesus was talking at the well with this woman who was bad. Not only was the issue about her reputation, it was about his reputation as well, because he wasn't supposed to be doing this. He was not supposed to be talking to a Samaritan. They were oppressed. There was bigotry and prejudice against them. He was supposed to shun her. He wasn't supposed to be talking to a woman in public. That just wasn't done. That wasn't seen as proper. And he didn't care. He cared about her. He was there to minister to her, to be her savior. He didn't care what people thought even about him. He didn't care what people thought about her. He didn't care what people think about him as he went and spoke with her. This tells us a lot about Jesus. That Jesus doesn't care about your reputation. He cares about you. And while some people may think that what we have done and what we have been through and what has happened to us in our life isn't worth saving, Jesus doesn't care about that either. He doesn't care about people's opinions. Jesus cares about us. He didn't care about his own reputation. He didn't care it was going to raise eyebrows that he was talking to a woman. He didn't care that it would raise eyebrows that he was talking to a Samaritan. He just cared about her. Man, don't we want a friend like that? Don't we want someone who doesn't care about our reputation, good or bad? Doesn't matter what we've done, what mistakes we've made. Doesn't matter what accomplishments and triumphs we had in our life. Doesn't matter what our resume says. Doesn't matter what our failures are. Just cares about us and who we are. And will bring us close to him even if other people don't like it. Even if other people say that person doesn't deserve salvation, that person doesn't deserve for Jesus to be so kind to them, he doesn't care what it does to even his reputation. He just cares about us. There's a lot of people. In fact, I would go so far to say every person that needs a friend like that, that needs to know Jesus in that way. That needs to know that Jesus is not going to worry about our triumphs or our failures. That he'll celebrate our triumphs and he'll be there to grieve with us in our failures. But he's not going to hold any of that to account. It's going to be about who we are. And he wants to be with us, even if everybody else shuns us. Anybody else shuns us. And he doesn't care about his own reputation. He just wants to be there with us. He just wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be the one who is there with us in the heat of the day when no one else cares. He wants to be there. That is a powerful thing in our life. And I hope we won't push him away because somewhere along the line we thought we didn't deserve that kind of love. I hope we won't push him away or keep God at arm's length because somewhere we think we're not good enough to be loved that way. I hope we will open ourselves up to the love Jesus shows this woman, who no one else would love, who so many had thrown away. And Jesus says, I'm going to go talk to her. And he didn't care who it bothered. He didn't care who might think what about him. He just wanted to talk to her. We need that kind of friend in our life. We need that kind of love in our life. And the good news for us is it's there. It is there for us in Christ. We don't have to go looking for it. We don't have to go jumping through any hoops. We just have to be with Jesus. Now, some people may say, well, does it not matter what we do? Of course it does. But as I've said many times, God is never going to look at our life and something we've done or some mistake that we've made or some path we've gone down in life. God is never going to look at that and say, well, I have no idea what to do with that. God knows what to do every time. God knows how to take us exactly as we are and get us to a better place. And he may not have liked the things that we do, and there may be terrible consequences in our life for the mistakes we've made. There's suffering in life when we make mistakes. It just happens. But it doesn't mean God will reject us. God will meet us where we are, no matter where that is, even if it's in the heat of the day working hard because no one else will be around us. And he will love us for who we are. One of the things I've said for many years now is God loves you, He likes you, He accepts you and adores you just exactly as you are at this moment. But He loves you too much to leave you like you are. He loves you just as you are, but loves you too much to leave you like you are. He knows how to take us from that place at the well, alone and hot and desperate. He knows how to take us from that place into a better place. He knows who we are and exactly how to make us better. That's the kind of love that we have available to us in Christ. Don't shun that just because we think we don't deserve it. Don't shun it because of something we may have done or what people have told us. This is who Christ shows us He is. And that's why we pray together. Because we come to God in who we are. One of the things about this church, we have a motto that's on the sign above the door. The door on the street, as you come in, there's a sign that says, "Imperfect people welcome." I've often said that's why I can be pastor here. Imperfect people are welcome here. Because Jesus welcomes imperfect people. Not only does He welcome us, He goes out of His way to meet us, to talk to us, to be our friend. That's the kind of person we pray to. And so we come with all our mistakes and all our struggles and all our failures and even our triumphs and our accomplishments and the things we're proud of. We bring all of that as our reputation. And Jesus says, "All right, let's put that aside. Let's just talk about you and who you are and how much I love you and how I want to make you better." That's who we pray to. And so as we pray together, we invite you to pray as well. I'll start our prayer. And then if you would like to pray aloud, we encourage you to do that in any language in which you're comfortable. Or we can just pray silently. You don't have to pray aloud. We can just be quiet and be silent together because God hears the prayers of our heart as well. And after we've prayed for a little while, there's a particular situation that I've been asked for us to pray about today, and I'll explain that to you, and we'll have a special time of prayer about a particular situation that has been requested, and I'll talk about that in just a few moments. But let's spend some time, and let's pray together. Our God, we thank You that when You look at us, You don't see reputation. You don't see what everybody else thinks about us. You don't love us because we have great accomplishments and we are held in high regard. You love us for who we are. You certainly don't shun us because we've made mistakes and we are failures in so many ways and people have things against us, either fairly or unfairly. You put that aside and You just see who we are. Lord, on some level, we are all that woman at the well. We feel oppressed in some ways. We feel frightened in some ways. We are shunned in ways. And sometimes we even do that to ourselves because we think we just don't deserve love. Lord, thank You that You see past all of that, that You are not caught up in reputation, that Christ, You didn't even worry about Your own reputation. You just cared about her as You care about us. We thank You for that. Help us, Lord, to accept that even in our darkest moments when we are so frustrated with our life and maybe even angry and at ourselves, when we've been hurt by others. Help us just to accept the full capacity of Your love, regardless of our triumphs or our failures. We can come to You and we can pray to You in this way because You are here. Your Spirit is with us. Your love is in our life. We thank You for that, Lord, as we lift our prayers to You.